Amen. Are you glad spring is actually here? Yeah. Yesterday, you get anxious if you're a guy that likes to chase that little white ball around. So yesterday, 18 holes, walked, swing, drive home, get out of the car. I must be getting old. I don't know. But I felt it. I still feel it today. But it sure was nice to get out there and swing that club. And it's not a fun thing when you're losing golf balls when they're in the fairway because they're so soft it just sinks into the mud and you can't find them. But anyway, that's my excuse for shooting the poor round. Absolutely. How many of you have ever forgotten something really important? One time, like an anniversary or a birthday, maybe Valentine's Day. My wife and I have been married over 33 years, and I don't think I've ever missed a birthday or an anniversary. I might have had to scramble when it comes to Valentine's Day a time or two. But men, let me talk to you for a moment. Has your wife ever said, hey, could you run to the grocery store? Here's a list of things you need. You want me to write them down? And we say, no, I got this. And we get to the store and we pick up everything we're supposed to get. We're 3/4 of the way home and we go, oh, I forgot that one item. You ever been there? I'm really glad for this thing called a smartphone, in my case, an iPhone. It has an app, a calendar app, and then a reminder app. And I can put things in there, and my phone will beep and say, don't forget to do this. I have one thing on my phone that we have a dog, Bailey, and I have a reminder on the first day of each month to give her heartworm and flea and tick pill on the first of the month. We are now in a schedule of giving her the pill on the 15th of the month. Because even though my phone reminded me, I keep forgetting. And so now we're in the middle of the month. From time to time, we need to be reminded of things and remember some things, right? Now, this word remember is, it's not learning something new. Instead, it's being reminded or having brought back to the forefront of your mind something you already know, but it somehow has gotten lost back there, and you need to have it drugged to the front, right? That's remembering. I want to share with you a few things that we need to remember today as a church. And I want to give us a little bit of background. We're going to be looking at a passage of Scripture, a couple of verses in Deuteronomy 5 and Deuteronomy 8. Let me set it up. In the second book of Scripture, we're introduced to a man by the name of Moses. Moses was an Israelite. His parents were Amram and Jochebed. He is born to these Israelite parents who are slaves in Egypt. Israel had been in slavery about 400 years, and he was born in a time in which Pharaoh had said all baby boys are to be killed. Well, Amram and Jochebed had this boy, and they chose not to put their little boy to death. He reached a certain age, and she knew she was going to have to do something Jochebed did, and so she built this, made this little waterproof container. She lays Moses in it and sets him in the Nile River. And then she places her daughter Miriam, Moses' sister, kind of hiding, watching to see what would happen. And it just so happened that Pharaoh's daughter comes down to the river to bathe along with her attendants. And they see this little basket in the water, and she has one of her servants go pick this basket up, and they open it up, and there is a little boy. Well, she says, I want to take this little boy home with me. Well, Miriam, this was all planned on Miriam, Moses' sister, and Jochebed's part. Miriam runs up and says, would you like to have an Israelite mom to take care of this little one until he's old enough to be weaned? And that sounded like a good idea to Pharaoh's daughter. And so she says, sure. And so Moses' mom got to raise Moses past the age of weaning. And then he was taken to Pharaoh's palace and raised in the palace, Pharaoh's daughter's son, so Pharaoh's grandson. Fast forward 40 years. Moses is out looking over the land, and he notices an Egyptian slave master being very cruel to an Israelite slave. He looks around, and he kills the slave master. News got back to the palace, and it became discovered that that Moses had killed someone, and so Moses has to flee Egypt, and he heads to the desert. There, he meets a lady by the name of Zipporah. He marries her, and he stays in the desert for another 40 years. Now Moses is 80 years of age. He's out watching sheep, best we know, and he sees a bush on fire. But it wasn't burning up. And so he says, I'm going to go explore. I'm going to see what this is. And he walks over to it, and God speaks to him out of this burning bush and said, Moses, take off your shoes. You're on holy ground. And God speaks to Moses and said, I want you to go back to Egypt. You're going to lead my people, the Israelites, out of slavery, out of the country. And Moses is like, pick somebody else. And we can understand why. He left because he was charged with murder. And now God is saying, go back. And he's like, I don't want to do this. God says, no, you're going. Moses goes back. We know the story. He says to Pharaoh, God says, let my people go. Pharaoh says, ain't going to happen. 10 plagues later, Pharaoh says, get out of town. And Moses leads 2 million people out, headed to the promised land that God had given Abraham the promise, your descendants are going to inherit. They get to the border of the promised land. They send in spies. 10 of the 12 spies come back and say, it's a beautiful land, but we can't overtake it. They're too big for us. They're too powerful for us. We just can't do it. They convinced the whole crowd, the whole nation, we can't do this. And God says, okay, you're not going to go in then. For the next 40 years, you're going to wander in the wilderness, and those who are over 20 and older, you're going to die in the desert. You won't go in. And for the next 40 years, Moses leads the children of Israel. Actually, God is leading, but Moses is leading the people. For 40 years, they wander in the desert. Now Moses is 120, and God reveals to him that he's going to be dying soon. Moses writes the book we call Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy is, as it were, a memoir of Moses. It's a recounting of where Israel came from, what God brought them through, and what all God had done for them. And he writes it for the people. He writes it for them to remember some things. In fact, 16 times in the book of Deuteronomy, we find the word remember. Remember where you came from. Remember what God did for you. Remember how God helped you. Time and time again. 16 times. I want to share with us two verses. Deuteronomy 5, verse 15, and the first part of verse 15. And then Deuteronomy 8 and verse 2. So if you have your Bibles open, Deuteronomy 5, 15. And part A, Remember that you were slaves in Egypt and that the Lord your God brought you out of there with a mighty hand and an outstretched arm. What is he saying? He's saying, folks, remember what God did. Remember where you were. You were in slavery, and God, with a mighty hand, brought you out. And then turn over a page to chapter 8 and verse 2. Remember, he says, how the Lord your God led you all the way in the desert these 40 years to humble you and to test you in order to know what was in your heart, whether or not you would keep his commands. 40 years Moses led them. God tested them. God humbled them. God led them. Kilpatrick Church has been in existence more than 40 years. I think it was back in the late 1800s that they were formed, and over the years, God has tested, has humbled, has blessed Kilpatrick Church. One of its former pastors is sitting up here on the second row for about 30 years, Pastor George, then Pastor Darrell, and in a couple Sundays, we will mark our third anniversary here as your pastor. I don't pretend to be Moses this morning, but I want to do what Moses did. I want to bring some things back to your remembrance. And then I want to share with you some direction that we believe God wants us to go. Every Sunday morning, as you look at your bulletin, on the bottom of the inside, we find our mission statement. Here's what it says. If you want to look at your bulletin, Kilpatrick Church exists for our community. Our commitment to the community is to inform our community of God's love for them by boldly sharing our faith, to illustrate the Christian life by living out our faith daily, and to instruct believers in the practices of discipleship. There are three I's that we've focused on: inform, illustrate, and instruct. Inform, illustrate, instruct. I want to walk through those things and remind us, help us remember what God has called us to. So Kilpatrick Church exists for our community. Our commitment to our community is to inform them of God's love by boldly sharing our faith. If you recall, when we first introduced this to you, we said that informing our community of God's love requires that we say something. To inform means to speak. It means to share, to proclaim. Sometimes we want to just say, well, I'll just live it. I'll demonstrate God's love. Well, we should be doing that, and we'll talk about that in a moment. But first, we have to inform. Jesus says, go into all the world and preach or proclaim the gospel. What does that mean? It means that we're talking, we're speaking, we're saying words, helping people to understand that God loves them and helping them to understand the plan that God has to change our lives. Now, the temptation that many have, well, let's just talk about God's love. Well, we are to share God's love. What we have to understand is God is more than just love, love, love. He's a God of justice as well. And if we weren't broken and sinful, there might not be any need for him to love us and do anything for us. We have to balance God's love with his justice. It's part of sharing our faith. I don't think God wants us to be obnoxious in the way we're sharing the gospel in people's face. It doesn't win anybody if you're just a jerk about it. But he wants us to be looking for opportunities again and again and being ready to share our faith with other people. That's our mission. That's what God has called us to do. And I want to remind us of that this morning. Secondly, Kilpatrick Church exists for our community. Our commitment to our community is to illustrate the Christian life by living out our faith daily. Here's the part where we get to practice what we preach. We are called to inform, but then we have to live it out. It's one thing to say something, it's another thing to live it. And we are to live the Christian life daily. We're to demonstrate or illustrate what we say we believe. We're to be examples. And I just want to say, Kilpatrick Church, we're doing a good job of illustrating our faith. I want to brag on you. I want to share a few things. And the danger of what I'm getting ready to do is I don't know everything that's going on as far as other ministries to our community. And so if I don't mention whatever you're doing, I'm bragging on you too, okay? Good? Okay. If anybody gets mad about that, you didn't mention mine, well, I told you that I'm bragging on you too. Woodland, we said, is our Jerusalem. And our goal is to win Woodland for Jesus Christ. We're not trying to win Woodland for Kilpatrick Church. Our goal is to win Woodland for Jesus. There's a group of people from our congregation who live in Woodland. And not only have they made it their home, they've adopted it and says, we're going to make a difference for Jesus here. And it began with a group, I think it was mainly guys at first, Woodland Shepherds. But there's families that, I don't know, six or seven families, younger couples that live there, and their goal is to touch this community for Jesus. I asked them recently, would you give me a list of things that this group has done to illustrate the Christian life? And I'm going to give you a partial list here. Here are some things that these individuals are doing for their community. They're doing yard work, not in just their yards, but helping others. They're shoveling snow. They're salting sidewalks. They're delivering food, helping with some minor electrical repairs, some plumbing repairs, vehicle repairs. They've done some home appliance work. They've visited at least 14 families, checking up on them to see how they're doing. And they've assisted families financially. There are some others that are helping in the community besides those, specifically the Woodland Shepherd. And here are some other things that they're doing. Picking up trash in the park and the town. Volunteering for Labor Day festivities. They sponsored a movie night in the park as well as in the school. And there's nothing overtly going, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. But they're practicing what they preach. They're living out their faith, demonstrating what it looks like to be a follower of Jesus Christ. And I say that that is illustrating the Christian life. That's what we're supposed to be doing. That's the mission God has called us to. There are a couple ladies, Jana and Pat, and some others that are involved. I don't know who all's involved, but they began this ministry called Quilting for Christ. And they're making quilts and they're giving them to those who have to be in the hospital or those who are at home sick. And I asked Pat this week, how many quilts have you guys made? And since January of 2018, 89 quilts. She corrected me this morning. They just gave out two more, so that's number 91 quilts that have been given out. Just saying, we care about you. We're thinking about you. We're praying for you. Folks, that's illustrating the Christian faith. And then Feed the Need. This is a ministry that is helping children in our schools who are maybe underprivileged, need food. And we're giving meals for the weekends for them. And in 2018, over 1,700 meals were given to community children. Over 1,700. Folks, that's illustrating our faith, living it out. We must like food because there's another ministry called Fresh Food Initiative. I think we began it last October. The church purchases food, and on the third Saturday of each month, it's available for anyone to come in and pick up food. The types of food vary week to week. We always get lots of onions, it seems. Sometimes we get cakes and all the good stuff. But since October of last year, over 437 families have been served. Not counting those of you who on a Sunday morning with the leftovers pick up stuff and take it out. These are people that we have names. Folks, that's living our faith out. That's illustrating it. Like I said, there are probably many others of you who are doing things maybe just not as public. But thank you. Thank you for living out your faith and illustrating the Christian life daily. I'm reminding you that that's what we're supposed to be doing. Kilpatrick Church exists for our community. Our commitment to our community is to instruct believers in practices of discipleship. Pastor Vic has been leading various individuals through a discipleship training program geared to helping people disciple one-on-one. After all, Jesus says, go make what? He didn't say, you know, if you feel like it, if you're in the mood today, if you woke up on the right side of the bed, go make disciples. He says, do this. And we're working on it. As part of discipleship, there are more than 30 small groups throughout Kilpatrick Church that are meeting on a regular basis. 30 plus. And these small groups are doing discipleship. They're studying the Scripture. They're applying it to their lives. They're holding one another accountable to live the Christian life. They're serving. They're fellowshipping, doing life together. That's discipleship. And here's what's pretty incredible to me. On any given Sunday morning in the sanctuary, in the worship center, we're ministering to about 250 adults between the two services. More than 170 of you are involved in small groups. That's right at 70%. I've never been a part of a church where that has been the case. I'd like to see that number. I wish we'd get to 100%. That's going to be our goal. But let's continue to be involved. We need to be involved in discipleship. That's part of our commitment to instruct believers in practices of discipleship. I just want to say thank you. As your pastor, thank you for living out the mission God has for Kilpatrick Church. That's the reminder. Now, as we look ahead, there are some things that we believe will be beneficial to us as a congregation to fulfill or to help us fulfill the mission God has given us. And the first thing that I want to talk with you about is children's ministry. Did you know that in 2019, this year, we're averaging ministering to 80 children every week between nursery and fifth grade? 80. Isn't it fun to have to step out of the way as those little kids are running between your legs and running around and sneaking cookies and drinking lemonade? Isn't that fun? I had a little girl this morning come up to me, and she had a little cup of lemonade, and she goes, I have two straws. I said, you must really be thirsty. It's fun. Folks, there are many churches who would love to have children and don't. We are blessed with children at Kilpatrick Church. And it's vital for us that we continue to invest in our children. Because they're not the future of the church. They are the present of the church. Because you see, if we don't minister to them today, if we don't help them as young children come to know Jesus Christ, they won't be here in the future. They will go out, they will leave the church and not have anything to do with it. But if we can help them understand at a young age that they are broken, sinful people and that Jesus can change their lives, it will save them from many, many regrets. That would have been a great spot for an amen. With that in mind, we're trying to work on our children's area. And we've begun the renovation process. We had a goal last year of getting more done than what we were able to do. But near the end of the year, we were able to renovate and update our nursery and first look area. Ryan and Marv Patrick came in and did a very, very nice job of, they closed off a hallway and opened up another section to give room, extra room in both nursery and first look. First look area, what is that, 2 to 4 years old, something like that? They're having 20 plus kids almost every week in that little area there. We really need more space, but this is what we have. But we were able to get that done, paid for, done. Now, we're looking at this year completing the area for renovation for our children. And so we have an idea, something like this. This is just a rough drawing here of what we're planning on doing. So I want you to look at this picture, and I'm going to try to help orient you. The left side, as you're looking at it, is where you would enter the old sanctuary. It used to be the youth area. Now we're using it for children. On the right-hand side, as you're looking at it, as you would walk in, there are all the booths there. You know what I'm talking about? You got it? The left-hand side was the old kitchen. It's used now as a Sunday school room for kids. And then you have the big area. And then the front, you see the two rooms there. Here's kind of what the plan is. The basic plan is classroom one, which is on your left as you would enter. They're going to knock out a wall to enlarge that room. And that's going to leave the stairway that goes up to the what I call the crow's nest, where the old sound system and stuff was in the sanctuary. That will become a mechanical room for air conditioning, heating, etc. They'll put all new heat and air in that. That's what we're proposing. Then where the tables are, where it says storage one and storage two, we'll have two storage areas, one primarily for supplies, the other for tables and chairs, so we don't have to constantly drag them back and forth. And who knows what else? You know how storage goes in churches. It becomes catch-all for whatever somebody wants. We'll try not to do that, but it'll probably happen. And then we have the main area, all new carpet, all fresh paint. And then do you see that little stairway on the bottom side of that, up towards the front of the children's area? There will be a balcony that is built, and then underneath balcony will be two rooms with an accordion-type door that can be opened up to make a large meeting room or a large classroom. That's the basic plan of what we're looking to do. Now, we're in the beginning stages of that, and we have in the budget already $15,000 set aside. We knew that wouldn't be enough, but we wanted to budget some amount to get us started. Right now, we're looking at approximately, to get the job done, roughly around $45,000. So we've got 15. We only need 30,000 more. And here's the good news. We have the $30,000. There is bad news. It's still in your pocket. And so here's what I'm going to ask. I'm not going to beg. I'm just going to lay it out there. If God talks to you about giving for this ministry so that we can update this area, we're asking that you give to the building fund. Okay? Give to the building fund. Write a check. Put it up, it'll go online or whatever. We're asking you not to take it from your tithes. Tithes are what help the general business of the church get done. Offerings are over and above tithe. So we're asking you not to designate your tithe for this, but give offerings over and above your tithe to the building fund, which will help us complete this and other projects that need to be done as time goes on. I'm asking you to pray about it. I think the Holy Spirit does a whole lot better job than any person could ever do to challenge us to give. Okay? That's our children's area. Pastor Matt and the children's workers back there are doing a fantastic job from nursery all the way through fifth grade in showing the kids the love of Christ and sharing with them the gospel message. And I'm grateful for that. As we look ahead, there are some things that we need to take care of in the worship center, in this area that we're in right now. We need better lighting and we need to update our sound system. Let me talk to you just a little bit about that. When I say better lighting, what we would like to have is lighting that we can actually dim instead of turn lights on and off to make the environment. We're not looking to have laser lights and disco balls and fog machines, and that's not what we're talking about. We're not looking to have that kind of a show. But environment is important. And what we would like to be able to do is have enough lighting that you could still see and write and read your Bibles, but yet create a nice, soft environment conducive to worship. In order to do that, we've got to change some of the lighting systems. We know that takes money. Second thing, upgraded sound system. Say, well, what's wrong with the one we have? We can hear, okay. There are a couple things that are wrong. If you want to look up and see where our speakers are positioned, they're pointing back to about the fifth or sixth row, and then on beyond that. And so from time to time, we'll have somebody say, the music is too loud. And then what they do is they move back. The problem is you're moving back into the power zone. Seriously, move to the front. It's not as loud. And it's the best seats anyway. And then these speakers on the side, they're monitors. We're using them not for what they're designed for, but we're trying to cover the whole room. And so we need to have some adjustments made to our sound system. And again, we recognize these things take money to do. And so as God would lead you, again, Building Fund is a perfect place for you to contribute to the ministry of Kilpatrick Church so that we can move forward and have the best environment that we are capable of having. Now, this next thing that as we move forward isn't going to cost you a dime. You say, hallelujah. We need to do a better job at balancing the attendance between the services. Currently, for this year, first service is averaging, and talking about in this room, averaging 177. Second service is averaging 67. I think there's more than that in here this morning. But this is our average for the year. There are a couple things that we struggle with. This morning in first service, we had 212. With 270 chairs set out. The problem is, in first service, we're often running out of parking spaces. I was told some time ago that by those who were out in the parking lot, it came back to me that there was a family who pulled into the parking lot, didn't see a parking space, and they left. Now, those of you who attend this service, you go, man, I don't have a problem finding a parking space. We don't want that happening. We don't want people leaving because they can't find a parking space. And we've basically enlarged what we can as much as we can for parking. What tends to happen, and these are statistics that will tell us this, if a place is too full, attendance decreases. People come, they can't find a place to sit, or they can't all sit together, and they say it's too full, I'll just stay home, let somebody else have my spot. Or I'll find somewhere else to go. If it's too empty, it also impacts attendance. Now, I know I'm speaking to the choir here. Those of you who are here when service begins, or 2 or 3 minutes before service begins, in second service, you know how awkward it is to come in and there's like literally 5 to 10 people in here. Now, we're not all about impressions and reputation. But in our community, Kilpatrick Church is known as a church where something good is happening. So imagine with me for just a moment, somebody says, we're going to try out Kilpatrick Church this weekend. We heard good things are happening. Let's go to the 10:45 service. They show up, they walk in on time, and there's like 10 people sitting in here in a room with 270 chairs. What are they going to be thinking? Something good's happening here, all right. Yeah. Again, it's not just about reputation, but folks, we want to create an environment that is thriving, that is exciting, that is meaningful. And so here's what I asked First Service to do. So I'll tell you what I told them. It doesn't apply to you because you already do it. I've asked First Service if 30 or 40 of them would make the transition to Second Service to help start to balance out the attendance in both services. It does a couple things for us. It helps us with our parking problem. It helps us by giving greater opportunity for growth in both services so that we can reach a capacity, the full capacity in both services, and then we'll see what God leads us to after that. So pray for those First Service people. Now, I told them what I hope didn't happen was that next Sunday, most of them come to Second Service and nobody's in First Service. Well, that's not what we're trying to do. But if next week or the next few weeks you start noticing a bigger crowd, just go praise God. It gives us opportunity to create the best environment possible. We're asking you to be praying about that. I've noticed this. It's fun to remember. Several of us just returned from Israel, and I've looked over my pictures multiple times. And it's really fun because, see, remembering reminds us of past good memories. I look back at those pictures from just 3 or 4 weeks ago, and it's exciting. And in fact, I've noticed this, that remembering creates anticipation. We've already got the next trip to Israel planned. The basic dates that we look at are February 20th, 21st through March 4th of 2021. Start saving your pennies, nickels, and dimes, and dollars and tens of dollars. We want you to go. But see, there's anticipation. When we look back at where we've been, I get to go back there again someday, and I want to check this out, and there's anticipation. When we as a church begin to look back and remember what God has done, remember where we've been, remember where we are today, it creates anticipation of what God might do in the future. Remembering creates anticipation. You say, well, Rocky, what is God going to do in the future of Kilpatrick Church? I wish I knew the answer to that. I can't predict the future. But God knows. And here's what I know. I don't know what God's going to do. But there is a passage of Scripture that I want to throw up on the screen that I believe all of us can grab a hold of. You can trust in the Lord with all your heart. And lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He will make your paths straight. I know this, that as we trust God for the future, as we depend upon Him, as we acknowledge Him and say, God, it's all about You, He will direct our paths. He will make our paths straight. He will bring things to pass that we can look back on and go, remember what God did. Remember where we were. Now look at where we are today. Not so we can brag about us, but we can brag about God. So here's my question for each of us here this morning. What part will you play in making a memory for Kilpatrick Church so that next year and the next year after that, we can say, remember? Remember? What are you going to do? Will you just sit there? Remember how we sat there? Or will you say, I'm going to get involved. I'm going to do something. I'm going to play my part. I'm going to do my part to be part of the body of Christ. And so that we can look back and remember what God has done. Remember where we've come from. And say, God, You did it all. So what part will you play? So that we can look back and say, remember. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word that gives us the admonition to remember. We thank you for what you've done at Kilpatrick Church. We thank you for the many, many years of blessing. We thank you for those moments when you tried us and you tested us. Father, we're doing our best to obey your word and to live the way you want us to live. We don't know what you're going to do tomorrow, but we are trusting you with all of our hearts. We're not leaning on our own understanding. We're going to acknowledge you and say, God, you're first. It's all about you. And we believe you will direct our paths because you keep your word. Would you help each and every one of us to actively engage so that someday, maybe tomorrow, maybe next year, we can look back and say, remember, remember? And we're going to give you all the praise for it, God, because you're good. Now, today, as we leave this place, may your word stick with us, stir our hearts, challenge us wherever we need to be challenged, and may we have the desire to walk in obedience to all that you tell us. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.